Yes. Three texts this evening concerning the commission that we have been given by Christ. And the question that I want to answer as we're looking at these texts, we'll start in Matthew 28, verse 18. The question that I want to answer is, what does the end game look like? How do we know when we are finishing up the foreign missionary work in a city or region or nation? How do we know, how does a missionary know when his job is done? It's an important question, don't you think? If he doesn't know when his job is done, he probably doesn't know what his job is. So let's take a careful look, starting in Matthew 28. I'll read verses 18 through 20. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need your wisdom to understand the commission that Christ has given us. Not because his words were unclear, but because there are so many distractions in our lives, so many unwise lines of thought. I pray, Lord, that you would grant clarity this evening as we look at what our mission as a church is. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Go therefore and make disciples. If you look at the end of the book of Mark, the way that the Great Commission is phrased in Mark 16 is, go and preach the gospel to every creature. So at the beginning of the Great Commission, there must be proclamation. I'm going to ask you to do a little bit of imagination work this evening. Let's imagine that we were able to develop a very affordable technology that implemented translation skills and allowed us to get a radio broadcast into every village, in every country, for every person to hear all over the world. Then we recorded the best preacher that you can find, the clearest presentation of the gospel that he's ever given. And we fed that gospel presentation into our device, spread it all over the world, preaching the gospel to every creature. Is the job done? Have we completed the Great Commission? Well, what's interesting about this text is that it makes very clear that that's not enough. It says that we must make disciples. The job of the missionary isn't done when he has learned the language, as hard as that is, learned culturally significant illustrations, learned culturally competent ways of communicating, and he has announced the victory of Christ over death and sin and forgiveness available through faith and repentance in his name. The job isn't done yet. He's made the announcement, but really that's only the beginning. Besides that, we know our little device would not fulfill the commandment because the first part of this commission is to go. We need personal representatives who are proclaiming this gospel. Because the gospel isn't detached from people. And we learned that this morning, right, when we were looking at Ephesians 2. We have a great gospel of grace. You are saved by grace. But what were you saved by grace for? You're saved by grace to be a trophy of good works. That's why God saved you by grace. To do good works as His new creation, fashioned by His hand, as His workmanship. So we display the gospel as we work out that new creation in front of people, endeavoring to make disciples. Disciples is a word that pushes the missionary's job beyond proclamation. It's also a word that pushes the missionary's job beyond mere decisions. Raising your hand and saying, I trust the Lord Jesus. And a disciple, can we see that just from the nature of the word? A disciple. It's a learner, a follower. This is something that's a lifetime commitment. It's not just a one-time thing. So if we have been tasked with the duty of making disciples, we have to prize lifelong commitment over momentary decisions. Our job is not done until we have disciples. Let's stray from our imaginary fulfillment and go to the real country of Kenya. Where are we in the progress of the gospel in Kenya? Where are we according to this text? Is the job done? Well, to be frank, missionaries have been going in obedience to this command from the West to Kenya for 150 years. 150 years of missionaries. And you know what? Some of them may have been misguided in one thing or another, but most of them are looking at this same Bible that I have, and they're doing the same thing that I would be doing, making disciples. There are, in Kenya, more professing Christians, if I have my numbers correct, in Great Britain, that is, born-again people. There are more Presbyterians in Ghana than in Scotland, where the Presbyterian Church started. The world is shifting, and Christianity has a new face. It's a face that comes from below the equator, South America, Africa, China, Korea. It's a different face from the face that we're used to. Christianity has spread like wildfire. And these people are people who have a lifelong commitment to Christ Jesus. It would give us a run for our money. I don't have any doubts. So, why am I here imploring you to partner with us to go to Kenya? I mean, the commission is go and make disciples, right? And there are disciples there. And shouldn't I be headed to somewhere else? Is the job done? Well, let's look on in this text. The next step, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Now, when the apostles saw this text and read this text, it became fleshed out very clearly in local churches. If you want to go to Acts 2, you can see how this begins. Peter announced to the people of Jerusalem the victory of Christ over sin and death, the availability of forgiveness of sins. You know, this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ, and has given him the authority to forgive sins through repentance in his name. And many came. Those who gladly received that text, says, were baptized. So we're fulfilling this verse, right? were obeying this verse. And it says in that text that they were added. There's a church that is being gathered at this point. There is an assembly of believers who have all identified with Christ in baptism. When Jesus said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, the apostles heard church. We're starting churches. Well, has that happened in Kenya? Oh, it has. It has. The Anglican Church is huge there. Catholic Church is also big. I don't know that you would call those churches in this sense. But there are gospel preaching churches there. The gospel is not unheard of on the streets of Nairobi. And there are many people who belong to good churches. So is the job done? Why are we sending? Why are we sending missionaries to Kenya? Well, we keep on pressing on. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Now, that's a big task. Okay, we could just limit it to the book of Matthew, and we would have a huge task, right? Matthew 5 talks about being poor of spirit, the Beatitudes. How many of you have the Beatitudes mastered? Not seeing any hands. Matthew 6 talks about prayer. Everybody's prayer life. Matthew 7, love your neighbor as yourself. There's a lot of commands in here that, again, require lifelong commitment. Jesus is teaching on marriage and divorce in Matthew 19. We've got just one gospel, and we've got way more than we'll ever perfect. And there's how many other books in the New Testament that have the authority of Christ? This is a huge task, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Now, recognizing that we'll never be perfect, I would still say that if we looked in Nairobi, we would be able to find faithful, godly, Bible-believing churches who up to the time of Jesus' death, what he commanded, they're trying to fulfill. Up to the time of Jesus' death, everything that he commanded, they're trying. They're going for it. They've got up through Matthew 27, I would say. But here is where I figure in. This is why I believe that Kenya is still a priority mission field. Jesus' commandments didn't stop with his death. At the very least, he had this one more. And what is it? The last command is, go, make disciples of all nations. So until we are partnering with Kenyans, widespread Kenyan missionaries, going to all nations, doing what it takes to overcome insurmountable obstacles. We talked about insurmountable obstacles this morning and how we have an unstoppable God. Until that's happening, the job's not done yet. There's still sacrifices left to be made for this nation. What needs to be done? Well, I want to glance very quickly. 2 Timothy 2:2. We see this as something of a charter verse for our school. It's something that I'm sure that you've heard before, 2 Timothy 2:2. The things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, Paul says to Timothy, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So Paul, the apostle, has taught Timothy. Now Timothy is supposed to teach teachers. I see my job in Kenya is that 30 years from now, Kenyans will be teaching Kenyans expository preaching, the languages, critical thinking skills. They'll be passing it on. The school will be in their hands. That's my dream. That's what I want to contribute by the Lord's grace to his mission in this area of the world. We want to see the Kenyans own a global commission. And you know what? We are desperately dependent on Kenyan Initiative for that. And we can't do that. We can't change 150 years of Kenyans being dependent on Western missionary, foreign missionary work. This is something that we need God's grace, and we're beginning to see his working in the hearts of Kenyans. For me, it's just across the page, Titus 1. God working in the hearts of Kenyans to find leaders like this. Titus 1:6. Blameless, husband of one wife, faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination. These are qualifications for an elder. Must be blameless, steward, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, hospitable, lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled. This is our goal in Kenya. This is what we want to work, to find, to establish men of God who are set on fire, verse 9, by the word of God, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. We are not the solution to the problem. God is the solution to the problem. And Kenyans are the means. We need these men who are set on fire by this book and equipped to use it skillfully, both to battle false teaching, which is rampant, and to move forward the mission of God around the world.